Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Yes, indeed. Time to talk some NFL football with Bob Glauber. First of all, let me tell you where we are at. We're on the road. We're at the Bushnell Factory Outlet, 8500 Marshall Drive, here in Lenexa. If you're going to GPS it, you can find them online at bushnellfactoryoutlet.com. And so many great items for the holidays. If you've got an outdoor enthusiast, you got a number of different category lines that you can come shop. Bushnell Factory Outlet, of course, great Kansas City company. $40 Bushnell telescopes, $50 golf GPS, $100 night vision. The electronic coyote call starting at $25, $30 trail cameras, discount on hunting and golf range finders, the extra wide binoculars like I use out at the stadiums, $25, 50% off on the range bags, rifle cases for $15, Blackhawk gloves for $10, boots for $30, plus they've got the reps here from GA Precision, CZ USA, and Applied Ballistics. So if you got any questions, you want to talk to the guys, they're here, ready to answer any question you've got, along with some product for you to kind of take a look at. Going to be doing some giveaways as well. Tickets to the Jayhawks and TCU on March 4th. Signing people up to win that. Chiefs tickets, 8th row lower level for that Chiefs and Chargers game, which is coming up on, what is the date on that, Rudy? Chiefs Chargers? I need to write that down. What is it?
Last game of the year.
Last game is 29th. On December 29th, 2 tickets, 8th row, lower level. Those are awesome tickets. Plus, going to be giving away a Nitro 1800 rangefinder powered with the Applied Ballistics technology. Going to be giving all that away today. You just got to get here and sign up. And, of course, get stocked up for the holidays. Everything for you, everything for anyone on your list that likes getting outdoors, there is something for you. So come see us here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet, 8500 Marshall Drive is the location. And just a great, great lineup of stuff and a great supply of stuff. So we've had a ton of people come through here. But don't worry, they've got a lot of product. It is their biggest sale of the year. Really the only time they do this, so take advantage of it. Right now at the Bushnell Factory Outlet, basically 87th Street off of I-35. Let's talk NFL football. Bob Glauber is with us on our Sprint Guest Line from the New York Newsday. Bob, how are you, my friend?
I'm very good. I'm glad to hear your voice. It's been a while. I hope you're okay.
Yeah, I'm exactly that, Bob. I am okay.
A-okay, baby.
Yeah, it's what I've always aspired to be is okay. I'm better than the Cowboys. That team's a disaster right now, right? Or no? Were the expectations just way too high for a team that kind of had a magical run last year? And people thinking that they were somehow taking some next step were gravely mistaken. Which is it? Living up to what they were supposed to be, everybody else was wrong? Or is this team actually better than this and they've totally flopped?
Saran, I think this is a talented team. And when you got talented players and you don't have a good record, I think that's on the team. I think that's on the coaches. And that's on the players. I mean, this is a pretty well-constructed team. And I think this is driving Jerry Jones nuts in large part because of that. Because, you know, he takes a lot of pride in being a general manager. You know, he can appoint himself to be anything, and he is. I mean, he's the owner, he's the chairman, he's the general manager, he's whatever he wants to be. And they got a pretty good roster. And this roster is underachieving in a very pronounced way. And it's going to cost Jason Garrett his job unless there is just some magic that we're not seeing right now that's going to be in the playoffs. I don't think that's going to be the case. This team is in free fall right now. And had they not been in the worst division in football, their season would be over. They still got a chance, though, and I still think they are the favorites to win the division. But at this point, unless they start to put it together, then it's the Eagles. I mean, I think there's a scenario, if I'm not mistaken, where the Washington Redskins can actually win this division. Like, that's how bad this division is. And that's it's because the Cowboys are just not living up to expectation, as well as the Eagles. You know, the Eagles could take a big, big step forward by beating a bad Giants team at home on Monday night and, you know, catching right up here.
If they beat the Giants, they pull even. They finish up at Redskins, home for the Cowboys, at Giants. So how do you think those last four go for the Eagles?
I think the Eagles can go – I think they can go 3-1 in that and then win the division if that happens. But, you know, that team is as maddeningly
Wait. They can go 3-1. 3-1 is like the worst-case scenario for this team, isn't it? I mean, if they go worse than that – now, listen, I know they can do worse because they just lost to the Dolphins, which is incredibly embarrassing. But, I mean, they're going to be favored in the last four games. Doug Peterson will be in trouble if they don't go at least 3-1, won't he?
I don't think so. I don't think – I think Doug Peterson needs – if they're bad next year, then I think Doug Peterson will be in trouble. 2 years removed from winning the only Super Bowl in franchise history – I think that bought him at least another year beyond this one.
Nine and seven.
I just can't see it, right? Go ahead.
9-7, winning the division outright, which he would at 9-7, because he'd beat the Cowboys along the way. And then a good showing in a playoff loss, and I think all is well with the world in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But you go 2-2 and come home 7-9. And that's one of the things Jerry Jones was asked after the game. And his what's now become a regular press conference afterwards, about like if 7-9 in the playoffs, would he take it? And he's like, well, what do you mean? And I too thought the question was just goober. I mean, unbelievable. Like, no, we're going to refuse to go. It's not a bowl invitation, jackass. You got to go. They're going to have to go and play the game. You don't accept or decline it. You go. If you don't go, you're out of the league. So yes, they're going to be there. But, you know, all indications are from the people I've talked to in Dallas, a 7-9, 8-8 division championship is not going to save save Jason Garrett's job. And
No.
I get that because it's just like the mediocrity personified. Now if he goes 7-9, gets in the playoffs and goes to the Super Bowl, well, that's a different matter. But nobody would expect that to happen. I think change is coming, and the word that I'm hearing from people in Dallas is that he's already talking to coaches. He's talking to Lincoln Riley and Urban Meyer. Are you hearing the same thing?
I have not heard that there are negotiations already underway, honestly, but that would not surprise me at all. I mean, this happens fairly regularly, although teams don't talk about it. I think there's time for Jerry Jones if he – like Lincoln Riley, I don't know that Lincoln Riley is going to go to the NFL. Jerry Jones had great success with a preeminent college coach. He had his best years with Jimmy Johnson. So that would make a ton of sense. I don't know that Lincoln Riley is going to want to leave Oklahoma. I don't know that he's going to want to be in the NFL right now. He's working magic there. You know, why go into a league where the turnover of coaches is ridiculous? He's got, you know, he basically got almost lifetime security at Oklahoma. Urban Meyer, man, you know what? Go for it. He's brilliant as an offensive mind. I just don't know that he's got the temperament to last in the NFL more than 3 years. I just don't. There have been so many examples where, you know, he burns out, he gets in trouble, something happens, and he's got to step away. No, he's coming back. There's a lot of something weird there with Urban Meyer. So. I'd be stunned if Jason Garrett is back and only a long run in the playoffs, and I'm talking about getting either to the NFC Championship game or beyond it, is going to save him. And, this team, the way it's playing, there's just no way that they're capable of doing that.
All right. Does Jerry Jones help or hurt
the franchise? You might have a scoop there, buddy. Have you seen that out there in the public that they're talking to those guys?
People in Dallas, that's what they're saying down in Dallas. I don't know. I'll talk more about it with Ari Timken with this, but he was one of the guys I was talking to this morning, and that's what he was saying. The word is down there that they're already down the road. You know, like, do they have a contract in front of them or no? They just reached out and said, would you have interest? I don't know where it is. Maybe we get some more details a little bit later on. But, you know, look, Lincoln Riley's been linked to that forever. I mean, that's been since the first year in Oklahoma, that it's been known that that was a direction they could go. And so we'll see. But, like, is anybody going to win under Jerry Jones, or is he what really screws it up? That he's better than Dan Snyder in Washington, but he's still cut from the same cloth, and it doesn't matter who he hires, he'll still screw it up.
You know, I get that. I get that sense. It's really hard to work for Jerry Jones. He's got to have it his way. The only time, look, you know, when he had Jimmy, there was magic there. There was like generational magic as far as transforming a franchise. They were the worst in the NFL. Jimmy drafted beautifully. Jerry was the maverick, and he was the great salesman, but he wasn't the personnel guy. And then, you know what? He wanted credit. And that was the beginning of the end for the Dallas Cowboys dynasty. They won three Super Bowls in 4 years. And they won one of them with Barry Switzer winning it with Jimmy Johnson's guys. And it has not been the same since. And the one common denominator is Jerry Jones. He wants it so badly. He wants to be the guy who builds that team and who is the prime mover of that team. He's a great businessman. He's not a great football man.
I hate when people say that, and maybe when I explain what I want to say, maybe you'll just kind of amend or say, yeah, I mean the same thing. He wants it so badly. He doesn't want it bad enough to hire somebody who can really do it. He wants to be a hero badly. That's what he wants. He doesn't want a championship badly. He wants to be a hero. He wants to say, I did it. He wants to say, me, me, me. He's not about building the best organization. He's not about winning the championship, because if he was, he'd recognize that he doesn't have the skills and he would go hire people to do it. He is about himself and nothing more, and I think that's why he can't succeed. I think he gets football better than Dan Snyder, but he doesn't get it better than Jimmy Johnson. He doesn't get it better than, you know, guys in the league. And I guess if you're a lifelong Cowboy fan or you're from the region or something and the Cowboys offer you the job, you got to take it. But if you're a prospective NFL head coach and what you want to do is win a championship, then you don't sign on to coach his team.
Correct. Now, I think they had a shot. Like, I was a little surprised that Bill Parcells went there. You know, that's a big-time coach, and that might have been – look, they went to the – they had a really good record under Garrett when they got upset by the Giants, and I think it was 07, and at home in the divisional round. That was a monumental loss. But Parcells – had gravitas, and he was a coach who did work under Jerry Jones. But, you know, when Jerry Jones, you know, foists Terrell Owens on a Bill Parcells, and Parcells doesn't even refer to the guy by his name, you've got a problem there. And Jerry Jones cannot get past himself. You're right. It is about him. And, look, he's one of the best businessmen I've ever come across. Tremendous. I mean, tremendous. But this is football. It's a different kind of business. You can't equate winning on the field with building your business. It's different, and it's sports. It's, you know, you either have it or you don't. And Jerry, I think he's done a pretty good job of building that roster. I really do. This is a great offensive line. Dak is he's limited, but he's certainly capable. You know, Ezekiel Elliott's a great running back. Their defense has really good players, and it's just not coming together. So this is what happens when, you know, a coaching regime unravels. You know, we're seeing it played out in real time, and it's going to change. But can another coach come in there and go on the run and win it all? I don't know. I don't think so.
The NFL is littered with business guys. It used to happen a lot more in the old days. Because what you'd have is you'd have a president of the team, and the general manager would answer to him. And so the president of the team would like football, want to be. I heard a great story about somebody in the Chiefs organization that, you know, the guy was a great business mind, but he just didn't. And by the way, it's not Jack Stedman, it's not Carl Peterson, for those that are out there screaming at the radio. I was a different guy. I didn't rise to that kind of power, but he was a tremendous business guy. But I was told by numerous people he just loved football, and he always wanted to get into football. And he's now gone where he will leave. He ultimately got fired with the Chiefs and went someplace else in a business capacity. Had success, but he keeps trying to get his way back into football because he loves football and he wants to be a GM. That's what he wants. He wants to be the guy that builds the great football team, and the guy's just not equipped with what it takes. Jerry Jones is that guy. He just had enough money to buy the team. And so he could – you know, put himself in there. And it's littered with guys that, for whatever reason, the drug of wanting to be, you don't see it in other sports like you do football. You know, there's no, who's the NBA owner who tries to be the GM? Who's the Major League Baseball owner that tries to be the GM? I don't know the hockey franchises well enough. You'd know better than me. I only follow the Sharks, really. But, you know, you don't see those guys. But football is filled with guys like that, that want to meddle and decide and get this guy. I suppose they're, you know, George Steinbrenner would sign free agents and that kind of thing. But, you know, the guys like Jerry Jones are unbelievable. And they seem to only be in football or
and
more
you know
so in football.
Sorry? Yeah, yeah, there's another transaction this week. You know, Ron Rivera got fired. David Tepper, the owner, who is a former hedge fund manager or owner, he is putting, he admits it. I'm trying to put my stamp on the team. And there's another uber aggressive, and David Tepper, you know, thinks very highly of himself. And I think he, I don't know that he took a hit this week, but Ron Rivera, man, there were a lot of bouquets thrown his way when he was sent out the door. And, you know, he got a lot of sympathy. He's a good coach. He's going to get another job, and David Tepper now is on the clock as far as okay, get it together, man. You know, you kept your GM Marty Herney. Now you got to get a coach. Let's see you turn this thing around. You got a big decision to make with Cam Newton, and this team is at the crossroads. And the owner is basically saying, "Hey, I want to put my stamp on the team. Okay, go for it."
You know, I'm the president of talking about the guys like the really true coaching greatness are the guys that get wins with less than a Hall of Fame quarterback. And that's the real mark. And, you know, we went round and round about Andy Reid. We don't need to do that again. But Cam Newton's not a Hall of Fame quarterback. And he took him all the way to the Super Bowl and won regularly and then was winning this year with Kyle Allen, for crying out loud. No, Ron Rivera is an excellent football coach. And I think it's pretty easy to say just because most coaches fail in the NFL. They won't do as well with their next hire. But he's the guy who said, listen, I got to get out there and I got to get my guy because there are people already interviewing. And that was allegedly pointed towards the Cowboys going after some of the hot college names. And I think that's where he'll look. I think Carolina will make a run at those guys, and we'll see if either one of them gets them. Last thing on the Cowboys, Dak Prescott's contract. It's gone from where he was asking for way too much, in my opinion, and my opinion is not wavered on that, to where then he was playing at a level that we had not seen him play. And it seemed like, well, yeah, it's too much, but it's the going rate for a guy in the open market, and the Cowboys are going to have to pay him. To now Jerry Jones, to his credit, and this is where he's smarter than Daniel Snyder, holding his water, and Dak Prescott's come back to earth and is looking more like Dak Prescott. What happens with him at the end of this year? They franchise him and they just kick it down the road? Are we eventually going to see him go the Kirk Cousins route? What happens with Dak Prescott?
Yeah, that's a really franchise future deciding question. And I suspect that they will try to work out a long-term deal because Jerry Jones has been very fond of Prescott as his quarterback. But, you know, when you're seeing what's happening now, he's not capable of lifting his team on its shoulders at the time when it needs it the most. He gambled, and he's losing that bet right now. He was winning early on. People out there saying, oh, pay the man, look at him, he's just great. You know, he bet on himself and he's going to win. No, he's not winning right now. And, you know, that Jerry Jones values quarterbacks. He is afraid of not getting a good quarterback. He might be in a position, you know, in this draft and, you know, to move up and get a franchise-caliber quarterback. But I suspect that he's still going to cast his lot with Dak Prescott and hope that a coaching change will benefit the offense.
All right, we'll take a break here in the program. We'll come back, talk more with Bob Glauber. Get into the Chiefs and Pats. How big is this game? What's at stake for the two teams, the coaches, the quarterbacks? We'll do that with Bob Glauber from New York Newsday, our NFL insider. He's brought to you by our friends at E. Edwards Workwear, eeworkwear.com. Cold weather games still to be played at Arrowhead, whether it's that or we're here, obviously, at Bushnell. If you're headed out hunting and you're going to be sitting in a deer stand or going to be wherever you might be, it's going to be cold. The weather gets down, the temperatures. You need E. Edwards Workwear. They got you covered with the best cold weather gear around. Great materials. Carhartt stuff. I got a Carhartt hoodie on right now. It's absolutely the best. You can outfit yourself in Carhartt head to toe. All the gloves, all the hats, all the scarves, all the bibs, all the boots, safety boots, everything you need. It's at E. Edwards Workwear. Four locations. Find them online at eeworkwear.com. We'll come back here. We're broadcasting live at the Bushnell Factory Outlet. Rifle cases for just $15. Trail cameras for $30. The $25 extra wide angle binoculars, you can check those out. Those are what I take to the games here. All kinds of great stuff here at Bushnell, plus registering people to win Chiefs tickets. Eighth row lower level for that Chiefs Charger game on December 29th. KUTCU tickets for March 4th and a Nitro 1800 rangefinder powered with Applied Ballistics technology. You can also come talk to the guys from Applied Ballistics as well as CZUSA, GA Precision. It's here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet, 8500 Marshall Drive.
All right, the Good Sense, end of the hour answer. National Football League, who was the first head coach to win a division title without having a winning record?
Pete Carroll do it at 7-9? I know he did it. Is he the first?
Nope, he did do it, 2010.
Then it was a Saints guy, right? Did the Mm-mm. Saints do it once? No? Mm-mm. I'm nailing it here. So far, 7-9. Give Bob Glauber a shot. Bob Glauber, our NFL insider from New York Newsday, brought to you by E. Edwards Workwear. Bob, you got any idea on this one?
Would it be Bud Carson?
Nope.
Browns? They might have done it once.
They were 8-8 one year. Was it the Browns?
It was the Browns.
Okay, Marty?
Marty Schottenheimer, 1985, his first full season. As Browns head coach, they were 8-8. The four other coaches who have done it, Norv Turner with the Chargers in 08 was 8-8. You mentioned Pete Carroll, 7-9 for the 2010 Seahawks. John Fox, 8-8 for the Broncos in 2011. That was the Tim Tebow team. And the last to do it, the recently departed from the NFL, Ron Rivera, for the 2014 Carolina Panthers, 7-8-1. That was the preamble to their 15-1 Super Bowl season of 2015.
So I guess I didn't listen close enough because I thought you said losing record. Pete Carroll was the first.
I said without
with
a winning record.
No, he didn't. Curtis, it was a very sneaky one. Not a winning record.
But Pete Carroll was the first.
That was the losing record.
First with a losing record,
yes. He was the first with a losing record, right? Yeah. Let me ask you something, Seren, because I want your opinion on this one.
Real quick, let me tell people where I'm at. Bushnell Factory Outlet. By the way, I just went back into the warehouse section, which is open. Call it the bargain cave, if you want. So much great stuff that is here that is priced to make your holidays very, very happy. You can come down and check it out. All kinds of rifle scopes, all kinds of rangefinders, GPS stuff, the golf GPS. This is a great place to come shop here at the holidays. Look them up online at BushnellFactoryOutlet.com and see them in person at 8500 Marshall Drive. That's basically 87th Street off of I-35. They've got all kinds of folks here, folks from GA Precision and CZUSA. You can see how the rifle scopes fit. On the rifles, the Applied Ballistics folks are here. They got a great app to help you out as far as targets on how to target at long distance. All kinds of great stuff here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet. Come see us. You ain't working this late anymore on a Friday. Come on, I know it. Get stocked up for yourself and everyone on your list that golfs or hunts or gets outdoors. They're going to love it here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Store just off I-35 at 87th Street, 8500 Marshall Drive. All right, what do you want to ask me, Bob?
All right. What is your position on teams with non-winning records, winning divisions, and hosting a wild card game against a team with a winning record? Ultimate example, the 7-9 Seahawks hosting, I think it was the 12-4 Saints.
I got no problem with it. It comes with it's the perk of winning a division. It makes winning the division valuable. And I hear everybody in the NBA bitch and the NHL bitch. They used to have just Western Conference 1-8, and that's how we won it. And, you just win your conference, you get the best teams. And then they didn't like that, and they went back to divisions, and then they give the divisions preference, and then they don't like the divisions. They want to go back to just conference seating. Like, am I the only one that pays attention to what the hell goes on in sports in this country? It's staggering to me It's just like whatever we have now, we don't like. There's not a perfect system, okay? So you can either give value to winning your division or not, because what comes after that is, okay, we're going to make the division teams go on the road is, well, let's just get rid of the divisions and we'll just have two conferences and we'll seed them 1 through 8. And nobody likes that. Nobody liked it in the NBA. Nobody liked it in the NHL. It's just they don't like whatever they have because it's imperfect. But it will always be imperfect. So at least this way, you're rewarding the team that won its division. Why would you reward a second-place team? If they change this, which they might, that's what you'll hear everybody say. Because that's what they say in every other sport. Why are we rewarding a second-place team in front of them when they didn't even win their own division? At least in this, you've had to win something, and you're rewarded with a home game. It makes your divisional games more important.
Okay, now I totally agree with you.
That's a miracle.
I wanted you to get a little nervous there. No, I totally agree. I am a traditionalist when you can possibly be that. I don't like change for its own sake. It's a Band-Aid, and there are unintended consequences to that. And I think the fact that those, you know, non-winning teams can beat a team in the playoffs, hey, that team that had the winning record, you know, wasn't good enough. If you're good enough, you're going to win, even if it's on the road. And I would hate to see a change because it totally waters down the idea of divisions. You got divisions. You know, divisional rivalries are what makes this league. You get the conference rivalries occasionally. You get, Patriots against the Broncos and Patriots against the Colts, Peyton versus Brady. Like, okay, I get that. But the divisions are the lifeblood of the NFL. And I think if you take that away, water it down.
But go a step further, Bob, because the divisions are what create those Pats, Patriots, Pats, Colts rivalries of Manning versus Brady. The divisions create the Broncos versus Pats rivalries. You want to know how? Because with the divisions comes, we have to now then schedule the rest of the schedule. And so the rest of the schedule, they fill out with the rotating divisions, one from the AFC, one from the NFC, but then also the like finishers from the other two. First of all, if you draw that other, you're playing your own division, you draw one of the others, so there's a 33% chance that you're going to get that rivalry that now, like Chiefs-Pats, is maybe developing into that rivalry. You get that rivalry one out of every 3 years automatically, but then there's a pretty good chance, since they're both likely to win their division, that they'll be forced to play each other. It's a perfect mathematical schedule that allows you to celebrate the division, so Steelers-Ravens is the matchup that it is. Browns-Steelers can be a matchup. It's not nationally, it'll grow that way if the Browns ever get off their butt, which we'll get to in a little bit. But, you need that because even the part that's not the divisional schedule is what gives us the rivalries inner division because of the mathematics of how you do it.
I want the NFL to play this segment at any competition committee meeting that they have if they are going to think about changing this format. And I want them to listen to us because we make the most sense of anyone, and
yes,
they have to use logic. They have to keep it. Thank you.
I mean, if they change it, like, what are they doing, really, when it's all said and done? Are they just basically listening to around the horn? Is that what drives them? I mean, seriously, have to come up with, 10 lame national topics, and so this is going to be one of them, and then they think that that's actually important just because they're filling time with something?
Yeah, I hear you, man, and I think it would be a shame if they changed it. I don't think they will. I think that, they kind of resist these kinds of things because, look, let's face it, this is not an everyday occurrence. It's not every year that a team has a non-winning record or even a losing record and wins a division. It's more an outlier. I think I read something where it's like 5% of the time that happens where it's a losing record. And, man, if you're going to change a rule and really create a lot of chaos because of that small a percentage of things that happens, yeah, it's weird, but it doesn't happen all the time. And I like the structure of divisional rivals and rivalries, and I would hate to see it go. I really would. And what's the only alternative? I mean, I'm just trying to think of how they would fix it. What do you do? If you have a non-winning record, or if the wild card team has a better record than you in the wild card game, it's the team with a better record that gets the home game. I guess that, you know, that would be the only solution to that kind of thing. Or if you seed it, goodness gracious, you lose the total meaning of winning your division. And I'm so with you on that one. I would hate to see it change.
Yeah, I can't even believe that it's being discussed. I think it's just ridiculous that it's even being talked about. Speaking of ridiculous, let's mention the Cleveland Browns here. You know, I heard some people that were saying the future of the AFC is the Chiefs and Browns. And listen, this is their step back year to hopefully take two steps forward. It's why I said the number one bet on the board was Browns under. It has not proven to be the number one bet because I've already won other bets. And the Browns still have a chance to push their over-under total of 9. I don't think there's any chance that's going to happen, but they do have the Bengals at Cardinals, Ravens at home, and at Bengals. We'll see what happens with the pass if the Ravens are in a point where they can start shutting things down. I don't think they'll be there yet, but we will see. Listen, that circus, serious change has to come to that circus, right? I love now the big topic is, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., are you going to stay with the Browns? Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? Is that not looking like one of the worst trades ever?
It's looking like a really bad trade. Well, for the Browns anyway. For the Giants, I guess it's a wash because they're not drafting well, and they get Dexter Lawrence out of it. He's a middling defensive tackle, and they get Jabril Peppers, who is now injured. You know, solid player, but nothing great, and they get a third next year. So, look, Odell is – this is who Odell is, and this is what comes with all that talent. He was like this in New York. He would say stuff, and then he'd say, "What? Why is everybody making a big deal of it? I didn't say – you know, you guys are misinterpreting me," and that's what he did in a tweet this morning. I'm like, man, it's just it's the same stuff. I was in the press room with the Giants the other
day. Bob.
And listen, I'm in the press room, and the Odell stuff comes out. And one of the writers says, "Oh, thank God this stuff's not happening here." It just it wears on you.
Do you not remember having a shouting match with me over Odell Beckham Jr. and how I said the guy is a clown and there's no coming back from it? It's not going to get better. It only gets worse with these guys. We've lost him. We've lost him. It's done. There's no going back. And you said it was a terrible deal for the Giants. And by the way, give Dexter Lawrence at least some time to develop in the NFL. He may not be much, but at least you don't have this train wreck taking up a big chunk of your cap space to be not that good.
Yeah. Well, look, if you're going to have a Giants team at 2-10 with an Odell Beckham whining after signing a $95 million contract extension, yes, there is the case to be made with addition by subtraction. But, you know, overall, if you're trying to build a football team and you're getting rid of uber-talented players, which the Giants have done, and you're left with, hey, a great cohesive locker room, but they're 2-10, you know, come on. That's not how it works. The Giants' problems go far deeper than the Odell Beckham trade. So, I mean, look, they did get a first-round pick out of it. They got a solid safety out of it and a third-round pick. So in their mind, I think they're delighted that this stuff is happening with Odell Beckham Jr. But hey, that's great. You know, we're happy that he's not here. But we're 2-10, and we're going nowhere.
Yeah, but Bob, but you just said it. Listen, Odell Beckham Jr. wasn't going to make them any more than 3 or 4 and whatever. All right, and you can't say that because the GM botched the picks that therefore you should have kept a cancer on your team. Like that's the thing, is like the narrative is to me, You're just defending your old opinion. Like, oh, they're still 2-10. So, no. Trading him was absolutely the right thing to do. You still have to make other right decisions. You're never done. You got to constantly make other right decisions. But giving all that money to him, a wide receiver in and of himself, will not make your team. And that was absolutely the right move to do for the Giants. The fact that they botched the picks, if they did botch the picks when it's all said and done, is not the case because they wouldn't have had the picks and they'd have had this disaster on their hands and his value would be even less. If the Browns were to trade him right now, what do you think they'd get? Do you think they even get a first-round pick?
Yes, I think they would get a first-round pick for him, even with all the...
No,
I think they would.
You've lost your mind. You've lost your mind.
You would get a first-round pick for Odell Beckham at this point, because if you're a team like the Dallas Cowboys, you know, before Amari Cooper, I mean, it was like a first-round pick was considered hideously expensive for Amari Cooper. That turned out to be a great trade. He made that season last year. And I put Beckham in it?
Wait a minute. Whoa. Hang on. Let's stop with your sliding scale here. What has it done for the Cowboys?
Team. Wait.
Where are they right now?
He has been injured this year. Last year when they got him, he was a huge addition who changed their offense and who got to help get them on a run. They had a good year last year. He has been injured this year. He has not been the same.
Okay.
Dak has not been the same. And I'm just putting Odell in a – if you're looking at Odell and if you're a competent franchise, then he still has value. You know, he's a mess
All right.
there. That
All
team
right.
is a mess there.
So let's go to the next step then. Then if he's still good and worth a first-round pick, then Baker Mayfield is a pile of dung. Because one of them has got to be held responsible, right? It can't be that, no, Odell Beckham Jr. is still really good, and no, Baker Mayfield's still one of the stars on the rise, and they still suck, and neither one of them can put up a stat worth a damn. I mean, somebody's to blame here somewhere, aren't they?
Yes, I would say they are all to blame, and I think you throw in the coaching has not been good, but you also throw in the offensive line has not been worth a darn. And that was a problem from the beginning of the season, and I think we kind of overlooked it based on all the skill players that they had both on both sides of the ball. When they had offensive line problems, that was really a doom for that offense.
Yeah, well, you might have overlooked it. I didn't. I have the under ticket. We will take a break. When we come back, we will talk about Chiefs and Pats with Bob Glauber, best in the business. Writes for the New York Newsday. He's our NFL insider. We're live at the Bushnell Factory Outlet. Great, great savings right now. Make sure you check out the entire store. 50% off range bags. $25 for the extra wide-angle binoculars. Discount on hunting and golf range finders. $30 trail cameras. $50 golf GPSs. There are all kinds of gifts to be had here for yourself or for anyone on your list. Come see a Bushnell Factory Outlet. Great KC company. 8500 Marshall Drive. All right, Bob Glauber, our NFL insider, is with us as I broadcast live from the Bushnell Factory Outlet. 8500 Marshall Drive. Bushnell Telescopes, $40. The $25 extra wide binoculars, they have you covered. $30 trail cameras, $100 night vision, $50 golf GPS. They've got all kinds of items for you. Discounted way down, 60 to 80% off clearance items as well. Come check it out. Bushnell Factory Outlet here at 8500 Marshall Drive in Lenexa. Bob Glauber on our Sprint guest line as we talk NFL football. What's at stake in this Chiefs-Pats game besides the obvious Chiefs trying to inch closer to getting a bye week, which is going to be difficult, but they need two losses from the Pats. They can give them one of them. Stranger things have happened, but is there a changing of the guard happening here? The Ravens and Lamar Jackson have already beaten the Pats. The Texans and Deshaun Watson have. Now it's time for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady go sit on a beach for the next 30, 40 years.
Yeah, I think this is one of those moments where, and you mentioned those two guys before it, and Patrick Mahomes would complete the hat trick. I think there is something here. Now, I will say this. We've had these moments before. I remember Andrew Luck coming into Foxborough, the AFC Championship game, I believe it was 2016, and it's like, oh, this is it. The Colts have a chance, and Luck has a chance to overtake the old man, and it didn't happen. And that was, of course, the start of Deflategate. So I think this is still one of those moments. I think that Patrick Mahomes is poised to do this, and I think the Chiefs are poised to do this. This is also a time when the Patriots kind of rally up and defy the odds. And, you know, when you have those moments of doubt about the Patriots, they always seem to respond. But you know what? I don't know that this team has the capability of doing that, especially if they got to score points to match the Chiefs. Now, I mean, it's no guarantee that the Chiefs are going to going to rack up a lot of points against this good Patriots defense. But this Patriots defense has been vulnerable, and it's been vulnerable to really good quarterbacks. And obviously Mahomes fits that bill. He's healthy. I think there's a really good chance for them to pull this off. I think the Chiefs are going to pull it off. I'll, you know, knock on wood, go ahead, you know, whatever you got to do to fight the Glauber whammy on that one. But I do feel good about this team going in.
I do, too, and I think everybody does. That kind of scares me. But if the Chiefs don't, is the narrative that's going to be written by the national guys like yourself that Patrick Mahomes is 3-0 or 0-3 against Tom Brady, is that going to start being a thing?
Look, you know, I don't know that you can put that loss in the AFC Championship game on Patrick Mahomes. He did everything conceivably possible.
I don't. I'm not trying to put it on him. But my point, though, is this. They still attach wins and losses to quarterbacks, and he will have not beaten Tom Brady. There's lots of unfair things. The Dolphins couldn't stop anybody for all of the prime years of Dan Marino's career. The Broncos had no one around Elway for the first 15 years of his career. But it didn't stop people from saying John Elway couldn't win the big one. That somehow John Elway was part of the problem. You think it's going to be different in this case?
Well, if it's a shootout game, I think it will be different in this case because Elway, you know, for all his brilliance in every game leading up to the Super Bowl, he was bad in Super Bowls. And I think that was why that narrative formed. You know, Mahomes, and that's why I said Mahomes in that AFC Championship game was he did everything. He was brilliant. So that's why you can't say Tom Brady was you know, the Eagles got the better of Tom Brady. He was great until a sack on the last possession. I mean, if they had anything worth a lick of defense in that game, Tom Brady would have a seventh Super Bowl, but it didn't happen. So that's just why I'm saying there is a difference there. You know, if Mahomes comes up empty and has a bad game, then you can argue that you got to look at that. You know, all right?
Okay. All right, I got it. Bob, you're the man. You're the best. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great, sir, and talk then.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, how many schools have played in the championship game of two different Power 5 conferences? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.